God, are we getting back to once a week podcasts?
We may be.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us. It's the 7th of April. Pascueta, little Easter, has come and gone. The holiday is over. Thank you for downloading our podcast. My name is Jason, joined by my wife, Ashley. Together we run, own, and operate La Tavola Marque on a snowy April 7th.
Yes, ciao tutti. It is, we'll talk all about Easter, but boy, it was a shock to wake up this morning to a few inches of snow on the ground and light snow showers today. It is not what I expected when you think of April showers bring May flowers.
It wasn't what the Italian weatherman had to say either.
It never is.
It never is, is it?
This was like not even close to being reported.
No, it's not. today, like I said, today's April 7th. It's 8:15 in the morning. We woke up to snow and don't feel like cleaning because I don't know. I just don't feel like cleaning anything.
I was talking on the phone earlier on Skype, and I was like, if it's snowing like this and blustery, it makes me want to watch movies.
That is not possible because we are exactly 14 days from our first guests.
I know. No
which is kind of crunch time.
It is crunch time. So let's talk about Easter.
Easter was great this year. Mm-hmm. We went, had Easter Sunday with the Godster. We went with his family, his nieces, nephews, about 15 of us in total, to a place called Cerimella, which is, it's the name of the house. It's above Apecchio and way like in the, like if you think we deep. Live in a rural area, this is up in the hills where we haven't been there in a year, basically. And we were going down the road being like, did we miss it? Because we've been driving.
I was just going to say that. The directions to our house include, if you think you've gone too far, you're almost there. And that is definitely the case to this house. We did. We just kept thinking, did we miss it? Did we miss the turn? Just keep going. What's going on? And we finally arrive, and it was a horribly blustery day. And we have these northerly winds, and it's cold. And kind of that sleet. They had snow that morning, but it was warm and cozy with a big fireplace ablaze. They had a 300-year-old stone oven that was cooking. And
wood oven.
Wood oven, sorry. And they had lamb, chicken, and potatoes. And my God, those potatoes were so good.
Yeah, Capoletti. Easter here around here always starts off with Crescia di Pasqua, and we've talked about Crescia. It's this light egg cheesy bread that is made always around this. It comes in two forms, salato with the cheese or creche dolce, which is the one with, it's sweet with is it candied fruit or just candied orange?
It depends on who's making it.
And most of the time, raisins.
And the savory one is got a lot of names depending on where you're from. It's creche di Pasqua. It's also called Easter pizza. It's
Pizza di Pasqua,
or la brusca. So it depends on where you're from, but in this kind of Marche, Umbria, Tuscany, Emilia Romagna region, you will always find Crescia di Pasqua.
And a funny side note, we were at Gaggi's house
the night before.
now here's the thing about the thing about the leading up to and through Easter. It's nonstop eating. I swear to God, it's just eating.
Christmas.
It is kind of like Christmas. So the night before Easter, we went to Gaggi's house and had just some stuff, but Crescia di Pasqua. And then they got to telling us that they have procured 8 of these loaves of Crescia brusca for the freezer.
They said they had, we've been given 8, you know, between
gifts.
Almost 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crescia di Pasqua for gifts from all of our travels, visiting friends. And Jason and I looked at each other like, oh shit. We both knew when we got in the car, we mentioned it going, you know, that over half of those, 6 of those 8 are going in the freezer and they're coming back out at Christmas or at weird times of the year. And it's the classic, you can never tell, can you? And they're so freezer burned by then. And it's hysterical. We just thought, oh, shit.
We're going to be eating this
freezer burned creche for months now.
In October, yep. When you see that creche at Gaggi's house, you'll know when that came from.
Yes.
And it's hysterical. They do it every year. They'll bust it out like 6-8 months later and be like, tastes just like the day it was made.
No. I don't think they have any taste buds left. God. Plus, there was the dueling radio TV going on when we were there.
Oh, my God. This is so hysterical. So, Gaji loves watching Telegiornale, the news. He's like obsessed with watching all the newses.
And on a side note with that, they had a different news anchor. And Jason goes, wait, where's the women? Because he always talks about how ugly the women are and calls them carchofi, artichoke faces. And he goes, oh, it's an Easter gift from the station. They gave us someone not so ugly to look at today.
a soccer match that Rosanna from – it was her hometown team playing, and it wasn't on regular TV. You had to have the Sky, you know, the Sky package for Calcio for soccer. So she had it on the radio in the corner of the kitchen. Well, Gaji had the news on. So they had dueling volumes. So, you know, you'd hear the announcer on the radio start, blah, 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 he's coming down, blah, 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 blah. And Rosanna would turn up the volume on the radio. Well, Gaji would then turn up the volume on the TV. And this went back and forth for like 5 minutes until both the TV and the radio are at full volume.
And
I can't hear like
either. And then they have to yell at each other. and yell over the volumes.
The volume of both of these. It was a typical beautiful Easter. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was hysterical. You just think, no, that's family.
That is family. So the next morning, we went over to Gaji's nephew's house. And this house in the middle of nowhere is their country house. They live in Fano. And it's been in their family for God knows how long.
But it was great. We played Tumbola, which is bingo. And everyone at first was like, first of all, I don't know. Everything has a season here. So whether it's gelatos only served in summer to strawberries to, you know, panettones only eaten at Christmas, I guess you're only allowed to play Tumbola bingo at Christmas. Because they
at
all
Christmas
kept going,
and New Year's.
Oh, it's not Christmas. It's not Christmas. I said, any day is good to play Tumbola. Well, I ran the house. When we left, I was like, thank you all for your money. I enjoyed playing with you very much. It was a blast, though. Once we pulled out the tumble, everyone got into it.
It was great.
Jason ate himself into a midday nap and so fell asleep in the corner like an old man.
Oh, it was awesome. Here's the light. Okay. Now, Italian lunches this time for these big holidays go literally all day. We got there at 11:30 and we didn't. We were the last to arrive at 11:30 and at, what was it, 5-something? It finally broke up. So this is what I love about, like, that's a crazy day of all that. But I love, it's totally cool after lunch to sit in a chair by the fire and take a little 20-minute nap. And I did it, and it was great.
It was hysterical. Gaji was pretty well lit. And
oh, he was wasted. I think Gaji was.
He was enjoying himself. But yeah, Jason missed the sweets. He fell asleep for dessert, but it was
okay.
A great time. There was a lot of talk about the oven and how to use it, and Gaji had to mutz and futz with everything.
Everyone was missing Gaji's brother Johnny.
Johnny knows how to use the oven.
Johnny does know how to use the oven. But it came out great. They did a whole lamb, and they did I don't think it was chicken, I think it was capons, whatever. It was delicious.
Did you hear Gaji's sister, so Gaji and his sister and then like the rest of their like nieces and nephews and some of that, and she I think she's older than Gaji.
Really? Then she looks great.
Well, it was just so funny because she's at the end of the other end of the table from where I am, and I'm sitting near her son who, you know, is in his 40s or so, and she's quietly saying, you know, did you do this to the chicken? Normally when I do it, that's what she kept saying. Normally when I do it, this is how I do it. And I love how she was so much like her brother, like Gaji, of these kind of backhanded compliments or it's good. It's not quite how I would have done it. My way comes out really saporito, very flavorful or very moist. And this is a good way too. But
the thing I really like about it, we are so far away from our families and it's really felt like family.
Yeah.
And the yelling and, well, I don't know, I came from a yeller family.
Me too.
Family. So
feels good.
The yelling and the chaos and the flipping shit and all that. It was really a fun, it was really, really a great time.
Too many people in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it's great. And then it doesn't end. Then that's just Easter. Then we have Pasquetta, Little Easter or Luna di Pasqua, Easter Monday. And that's a whole nother day of eating.
So, yes. Now, normally you eat Easter with... What's the saying?
It's like Easter with family.
Easter con toi. Or Pascuata con toi. Or Pascua con toi.
Noi.
No, noi?
I don't know. It's something about Easter with your family. Easter Monday with
your friends. So we went out to lunch with some friends at a place in Urbana, and that was another 3.5 hours.
Jason was like, we looked down at the watch, and it's like 4:30, and he's like, oh, my God, why do I forget that a lunch isn't an hour? It never is.
An hour. I'm not an hour. Just, you know, an hour and a half, an hour 40. No, no, no. 3+ hours, and it was like, all right, we got to go because we had an Italian lesson at 5.
So. Exactly. And then it continues today, too. We weren't able to make it to some friend's house. Carla and Gigi, who have a farm by Urbana. We've talked about them before with the pig farm. And we weren't able to make their festivities, so they said, "Dai, vieni qui martedì." So now we're coming tonight for dinner for more food.
I'm done eating.
I'm so full.
I'm so fat.
After
6 weeks of eating foie gras and pate and cheese and bread in France, and then coming here and being here for 10 days, and then 4 days of no work and just eating. I'm done.
I feel it. It's time to get moving.
It's time.
We probably said that the last podcast, too.
As we sit on our asses and procrastinate.
I like fell and did some weird thing to my groin and some spastic move. So I've been out of commission for outdoor work for a few days, and it's time.
So that was Easter, and it's time to get back to normalcy. The next 6 weeks are filled with different holidays. So there's Prima Maggio, 25 of April. Then there's 2 June, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple. This is the kind of the period of
It's starting. Spring holidays and into summer.
Crazy weather as we talked about when we opened the podcast. Snow woke up to snow this morning, kind of like icy, weird snow.
Yeah, it was like that ice cream that is just little balls, where it was not.
It was like astronaut ice cream.
It did. That's so weird.
Not astronaut ice cream. That's the dehydrated.
Oh yeah, not the astronaut one, but
the little dot.
Yeah, the little dot ice cream. It wasn't hail, but it was this weird frozen snow.
Yeah,
I don't know, in little tiny balls.
And I'm sure. I know one family in Boston who probably doesn't want to hear.
No, of our dusting of snow.
Our dusting of snow as they're still digging out. But. So that's kind of weird, and all the fruit trees have blossomed, so I hope that we'll see. We'll know within the next 24 hours if all the blossoms just fall off, then it will not be a good fruit year for the plums and apricots.
God, especially after last year's like bumper crop of plums where we had trees we didn't even know were plum trees producing plums. We had like six different varieties of plums growing. It was incredible. And remember we brought all those plums to Maki, to the gelato shop. Yeah. We couldn't even eat them all. And we were giving away to all the guests in the rooms. When they arrived, they'd have a basket of plums. And you're right. I will be watching these trees that have already started to see what happens. Thankfully, the cherry tree
neither did the apple tree, but the plums did.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, before we had the nice weather before Easter, and we got down our potatoes. So potatoes were in the ground. We also I weeded the garlic, and we also
how's it looking?
It looks good. It's looking good. It's there. So.
It's muddy as hell down there. That's why I didn't go.
And then we also. Kind of built up the cleaned up the fava beans that are about they're starting to flower, so
but they're like shin high, not knee high.
No, they're not ready yet, but we build up we break up the soil around them and kind of build up a little bit of soil around each plant.
Jason wants to have raised beds this year.
I don't know. It's a lot of work for our last year, but it's so stupid to try to amend the soil for the whole garden. Why not just make raised beds and concentrate on amending the soil that the plants are actually in? And it'll be easier with raised beds for weeding because then I can just take a rototiller down the middle of the walking paths and break up all the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Another way instead of
I think it would look really pretty too.
It's a ton of work. It's our last year. Do you really want to put in all that work into doing that here now? It's maybe some. Well, we're definitely cutting down
like
on the tomatoes.
Like the lettuces, you kind of already do that, but make it bigger. Like, isn't the lettuces kind of a raised bed?
No, it's not really. It's just a little patch that we kind of square off. I'm talking about proper with a little bit of
wood.
Well,
maybe something like the lettuces that come back and that are...
I'm not opposed to putting a few things in raised beds, but to put the whole garden in raised beds, that's years of... You know, you do a few a year over, and, it, you know, 3 years later, your whole garden's in raised beds. But we'll say it's still snowing out, so I don't really feel in the garden spirit just yet.
No, I hear you.
14 days till guests come. We were talking about what to get the Godster for. We have to get him. Lately, he's been really, and I know we talked about the Godji a lot this podcast, but we've just spent basically the last 5 days with him. So all the time now since he knows we're selling our business, he tells us he wants his cut.
He
wants
does.
Money.
Money. He can't speak many words in English, but money is one of them. He and he always says it like that.
Yep. So we're thinking about what can we do for the guy that's super hard to shop for or get a gift for. Like, he doesn't accept gifts well. You know, a gift for Godji is a really nice bottle of scotch that always goes over real well. Or if you know he needs a piece of equipment, like,
exactly.
Oh, you know, last winter, you know, last spring, his whatever chainsaw broke. Well, that's a Godji.
Didn't you get
gift.
Him like a welding thing or something?
Yeah, we got
time.
Him a welder because as well, you know, those are great Godji gifts. But what do you get a real gift like
as a real thank you?
Yeah, as a real thank you. So we were thinking of doing a Godji Tours America and bringing the old Godster to Godji and Rosanna, his wife, to America for. I don't know. How long can we do Godji
I don't know.
America?
It both sounds like a great idea and an absolute disaster at the same time. Like, the idea to show him where we're from, he's shown us so much about his area and taught us
Italian.
So much. Yeah, and how to be Italian.
And he loves America.
He loves the idea. And he loves old Westerns and...
Clint Eastwood.
Yes. So I think it would be really fun to... Part of it is the fun of the idea of the culture shock it would be.
Oh, the fish
so
out of water.
Slightly sadistic, the fun that we would be putting him into these crazy situations, taking him to San Francisco, going to Oklahoma, or go
Texas.
To a rodeo in Texas. And I think it would be fun, but mentally, and I don't know if I have that much patience. I mean, whew, we would, oh my God, to translate and...
That's
sometimes he doesn't say nice things. It's a nice way to put it.
Well, no, it's just...
Sometimes he sees the way things...
It's a lot of energy. Godji's, you have to have... it takes a lot of energy. And I don't know how much fun he would have just the two of them together with us.
True. I think he would have to be like one of his nephews or someone like that. But... I don't know. He loves being the center of attention.
Yeah.
So he'd get such a kick out of going places and being this Italian and everyone, you know, and people throwing parties for him for my family or these things. But, oh my gosh, he's Godji. Godji's Godji. So
you either dig him or you don't.
Oh my God.
But I think it's something we have to talk about. I ran it kind of by him in a roundabout way today. And his response was... He would like to go to America, yes, but at his age, there's just certain things you'll never do. He can't take Rosanna because she packs 3 suitcases to go to Sicily, where all you need is shorts and a t-shirt. And he doesn't want to go to New York because the big cities, he's not interested. He wants to go to Yellowstone and the Grand Canyon. So Texas and Oklahoma would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course... take him to the Grand Canyon. But it's so long. The distances are so long and blah, 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 blah. But he's a naysayer.
I know. And he's not a easygoing kind of guy.
Yeah, he's not if you're expecting to propose something to him and he'd be like, that is you should absolutely, that's a great idea. Let's do it.
That is not his knee-jerk reaction
ever. No. That is not the Godster. But we'll see. Maybe if we could think of something else.
We would have to record it. Like, we would have to document
make it
the
like
entire
a documentary.
Thing. He was talking about some reality show the other day, and I said, we want to do a reality show of taking you to America. And we were saying this at Easter, and his family was cracking up. They were just like, oh my God. I mean, and even just taking him to an Italian restaurant in America to see what...
Why would we do that?
To show, like...
No, I want
to
take him...
As the sadistic side of me to take him to see, A, the prices, and he would be like... So disgusted. We'd have to take him to this like Buca de Beppo's or something really bad.
I want more.
Or is that just mean?
That's just.
I guess.
I want to take him to like what's like quintessential America?
Like food or a place?
Just like that has all the America.
A mall.
A mall. A shopping mall. That's perfect.
Food court, the whole
shopping
thing.
Mall in America. I mean, they kind of, they have kind of malls here, but they're not, you know, there's not as many people as there are in America. So you don't have the grand scale to show them the mall walkers, the people yes. that exercise by walking
He'd
around the mall.
Be like, get a hoe and get in the garden.
Get in the garden
like,
if you want
is
exercise.
A shit talker. Like, he loves it. So that's part of why it would be hysterical and why I say you couldn't translate everything that he would actually be saying. But it
or
would be
order a
funny.
Coca-Cola at a restaurant and have them bring the giant cup of the vat of Coca-Cola.
Exactly. Or like going to Sarge's and having him order just a ham sandwich and it's 3 feet high.
Oh yeah. That's true. Well, anyway, so that was, we were kicking around that idea the other day. And if anyone has any suggestions for, we don't have to take him on a trip. I'd be very happy. You can't buy, he loves to hunt, but buying him another rifle, like another shotgun. He's got dozen shotguns.
We looked at trying to get him one of those cool, like, guns from
he
Dirty
loves
Harry.
Dirty Harry. So we were going to try to get him Dirty Harry's 357 Magnum. But this is in America. You can't just find. I mean, I'm sure it's possible. I don't have a gun permit. So I can't go online or go to a gun shop and order this gun and bring it here.
Yeah,
and
think about it. It's an American buying a gun in Italy from another country, sending it back to Italy for someone else. Like, it sounds very
You can buy guns here, but pistols aren't as easily available in Europe as they are in the States.
We also, we might have mentioned this once before, but we looked into another one of his favorite actors is Chuck Norris, and we looked into getting a signed Chuck Norris.
Okay, that's right. Can anyone guess, if you go to Chuck Norris's like webpage.
Fan page.
Can anyone guess what a Chuck Norris autograph, if you send him a self-addressed stamped envelope, guess how much it costs to get a Chuck Norris autographed photo? For those of you who are really curious and want to chuckle, just Google Chuck Norris autograph, like Chuck Norris, and he will come up. It's hundreds of dollars.
It's ridiculous.
He's got some.
We thought maybe $25, like, oh, something. Or
he's got a public, I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't know he's making money like Pete Rose off of.
Jesus, I know.
So no Chuck.
No Chuck Norris photo for Gaji.
But if you want, maybe it's gone up. I don't know. Google if anyone's
he's hot. I guess
if anyone's really interested, Google that, and you'll have a good laugh. Old Chuck Norris, one shot, one kill.
We gotta find something for him.
Okay, we promised last podcast we talk a little bit about the sale of our business, and we've mentioned it in the last three podcasts that we are selling our Agriturismo, and this is the last year, and let's talk about that for a moment.
All right, so
what does that mean, Ashley?
Okay, so it means that we are selling the brand of La Tavola Marche and the Activity, as it would be called here in Italy. So you would be getting the website and all of the social media side of it, bookings coming in, and we've got the business side, and then we have the property. And the property is for sale or lease for a long-term lease of like 6 years, I think, is a possibility.
That's it?
Well, I wasn't sure how much you want me to get into details. So this, like, of the house, you want me to talk about the house?
I don't know. I just,
you said, what does that mean? So I just meant that here's the what that means. We didn't practice this
you're
beforehand.
You're a hell of a salesman.
Well, you said, what does that mean? So I'm saying there's two different things on the
table. Okay, I see what you're saying.
I thought you were going to ask, like, probe me. Continue.
Oh, probe you. So we have what's called a simple agricultural society. There's basically – it's a partnership. So just like in other parts of the world, you can have like what's a limited liability corporation, which is called an SRL here. I don't know what that really stands for. Or you can have more of a simple kind of business is what we have. And that entity – is what you're really purchasing. So if you said, yes, that sounds like a great idea, Ashley and Jason, we would love nothing more than to own an agriturismo, run an agriturismo in Italy, then what you would do is you would create a simple partnership like we have and call it whatever you want. Ashley's, you know, Ashley's partnership, it really doesn't matter. Then that, then we would transfer La Tavola Marque to that entity. So you would be whatever Ashley's B&B doing business as La Tavola Marque. Pretty simple, right?
Pretty straightforward.
The great part about that is you can take this and move it to, say you hate Kakamone, too rural, too, the road sucks.
Or it's too small.
Too small, you want to do it bigger, whatever. You can take this and apply it to any structure that meets the qualifications of an agriturismo.
In the region of La Marque.
In the region of La Marque. And we can, that is much deeper in what does an agriturismo actually. Basically, it's a, you have to have a certain amount of land that's farmable. Farming has to be basically your main objective, but... which is not as difficult as you think. There are plenty of farmers around. If you don't want to be a farmer, which we are not full-on, you know, professional farmers.
Yeah, Jason's not taking the tractor.
Yeah. We just, you make deals with people around. Like our neighbor, Pierangelo, he farms the land, and that qualifies us as farming. Mm-hmm. It's much more complicated than that. And the Italian laws are written crazy, and that's why you need someone who helps you out, which is called a commercialista. And we've talked about that in many other podcasts.
Many ones. You can go back and listen to the one. I think we did an interview with Fabio.
We did an interview with Fabio and how to and small and all about small businesses in Italy. So where was I going with that?
So you were. I think you were talking about the business side.
Yes. And then the great part about that is it's basically turnkey. Because, so Ashley, why on earth would I pay you money when I can go to a commercialista and start up my own agriturismo all by my lonesome?
Well, you certainly can, Jason. However, if you would like to start having guests right away, buy our business. you could certainly start your own and work your way up. It will take a few years to establish yourself in the industry. It will take a few years to get the right connections and to build a presence online. So why not do a turnkey? Why not find a business that's already booming and take over?
You're sounding a little desperate.
No, I just mean that it's an opportunity for someone who is looking to... What we kept saying when we moved here was, we need to start making euro. So you move to Italy, you come with your dollars or whatever currency if you're from outside of Europe, and you need to start your business. That's the whole reason why you came here. So...
Because let's be honest, we didn't make hardly anything our first 2 years.
No, that's the truth.
It's not easy. There's a lot of competition.
Lot of competition. And especially if you want to keep your business to yourself, meaning not sell it rooms to travel agents and things like that, it'll be a slower process to get guests. And where was I going with that? So you can most definitely do that. However... buying a business. Oh, that's what I was saying. That to start making euros, you came here to start a business. So if you're able to buy a business that is already established, you are able to start, going forward a hell of a lot quicker.
Absolutely. So it's been going well. We've had a bunch of people. Ashley's been doing interviews on different, podcasts and in different publications, both on the web and in print. So we've gotten a lot of people who have been interested. And it's really, really funny because you can break them up into two very distinct categories.
Mm-hmm. Those that are – well, I guess you might have different – titles for this, but I would say those who are truly interested in a entrepreneurial business type of point of view and those that are the looky-loos.
The looky-loos are the tire kickers.
Uh-huh.
And it's very easy to distinguish them because their questions are totally different. For example.
Is the house cold?
That is now. If you listen to
in
all
one
those,
of your first emails,
if you hear your question mentioned, we are poking fun because it's funny to us. And all those questions that we're using, we'll send you out a La Tavola Marque windbreaker. Actually, no, there's no windbreaker. But we get a lot, and some of them are funny. these are really funny. Is the house cold?
Well, if that's one of your first questions, I don't think we're on the same page.
No. So what's another funny one from a looky-loo?
How long does it take to learn Italian?
Ooh, that's a good one. How long does it take to learn Italian?
However long you put into it. I don't know. We're talking about selling a business and a house and a legitimate business conversation. And I don't know how long it will take you to learn Italian.
You should, whatever. My personal favorite.
Yes. It is outside of my league financially. However, I would still love to see your books.
No problem. We will send those over right away. I'm glad that you preempted with, I'm never gonna buy your business.
But I'd love to see what you make.
So those are kind of the looky-loo questions, and it's easy to really figure out. And then you'll get someone who is serious where their first question will be.
What is your occupancy rate? You know, and when is the return on investment?
What kind of growth have you seen in the region over the last 5 years? These are questions that serious people ask about who are serious about in getting to know your business.
So if you are one of those people who are interested in moving to Italy, try to think about those questions.
Do your research.
Yes.
The easy ones, like where are my kids going to go to school, is something that you have to figure out on your own. I don't have children. There's a school down the road. I have no idea. Everyone looks like they're literate.
I don't know.
But if you're serious about buying a business, you ask serious questions. Mm-hmm. And that's just something that I don't know. We've never sold anything. So this is
the first time. But it's interesting. It's a bit of a learning process for us as well.
So it's going well. We have several people who are really interested and ask the questions that we think are
legitimate
and makes us want to move forward with those people. So it'll be good. We'll see. I hope we sell it by the end of the
It would be season. Exciting. Also, we never talked about the property, what that entails. So the property is,
well, how much do you have to go into the property? If you go on our website, it's all every room is laid out and there's 1,000 pictures.
That's true. Just go on the website. I thought you were trying to say I wasn't a good salesman, so I was trying to go ahead and tell about it.
No. You started off strong before, and then you fizzled out.
I fizzled. I came at you hard.
You came at you hard.
And then I lost it.
Oh, my goodness.
But if any of you do have serious questions and not silly ones, feel free to email us or Skype, and we're happy to answer your questions.
All right. Very good. Anything exciting, interesting coming up in the next couple of weeks that you want to talk about?
Well, nothing is set in stone, but I'm really excited to potentially be working with Colacy Beer on a marketing campaign. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. And Colacy is our local award-winning beer from Apecchio, and it is now available in Italy as well as many other high-end Italian specialty stores across America. But it's a great local beer that's made local, of all of the local, like their farm right there of the wheat and all of their harvest. And it's fantastic. And we take people up there for beer tours and tastings for our Feel Like a Local Friday. We serve their beer here at our farmhouse and use it in our pizza dough recipe. And it's a great relationship we have with them. And I'm really excited of the potential of trying to help build their brand in the States. I think that could be really exciting.
And the craft brew, artisanal beer, craft beer hasn't really grabbed on in Italy as it has in other countries. It's starting.
And so it's kind of exciting to see after, growing up in Seattle and being there for Red Hook and Henry Weinhart's and always just being around a bit more craft beer and that culture, and then watching it just explode in the States to now seeing it start to pick up. Not that I like beer. I'm a beer drinker, but I'm not
You're not into it like you like. You wouldn't grab a beer and over a glass of wine.
No, Mama likes her, Mama likes her medicine. Chug. But it's kind of exciting to see what the potential could be, and that there's such potential for growth in beer tourism, and the water quality here is excellent. So we're seeing more and more little microbreweries and home breweries pop up, and it's really fun to see. So I'm excited to be kind of part of it in a way, and to share some of that with the States and see where Italy goes with
and
it.
I don't want to shock anyone listening, but Italy is not as technologically advanced online as
hold the phone
as other countries are. It is not the kind of place where you can just kind of, where do I need to find a blank and Google it, and at least in our area.
Correct.
The website is not, or the social, or not social media, the online presence is not important, is not, they don't understand the value.
Correct. So we'll see. I'm excited to do something with Khaleesi.
All right. Very good.
Maybe I'll just get paid in beer, but I'll take it for now.
you got...
Oh, and then next week is April, I think April 12th. I'm not looking at a calendar, but is the Frog Festival in Fair Mignano.
Oh, Festa della Rana.
Uh-huh. So hopefully we'll go to that. We haven't been in a few years.
Well, now you have to tell people what do you mean the Frog Festival?
So in one of our, between our farmhouse in kind of on the outskirts of Piobico, if you're driving to Urbino, along the quote unquote straight road, you'll pass through Fair Mignano. And Fair Mignano's a neat little town on the river. And they celebrate, I think it's weird. It's really weird. They like celebrate their independence from the Duke of Montefeltro, the Duke of Urbino. With this freaking frog festival, and I don't quite know what frogs have to do with freedom, but it's really funny. They dress in medieval costume. I know we've talked about it before because I've made, Renaissance costumes, and I've made fun of Jason about it before, but here we go again. And they have frogs. It's a wheelbarrow frog race. And the first time we went, you know, you just read about this in a little book and you're trying to translate it. And Jason...
I thought they took frogs and put wheelbarrows on them like a horse pulling a cart.
Jason had... Like,
I thought they were tiny little like carts that the frogs had to jump and pull.
So we're at this festival. Jason hadn't ever mentioned this, by the way. We're at the festival and it's all happening and it's really young men in the costumes with a flat bottomed wheelbarrow. This kind of, I don't know, cart.
Yeah.
One wheeled cart, and you put a frog on the middle of it and then you have to run this cart through town and get to, it is so
it really is kind of dumb. If your frog jumps off, you have to stop and put your frog back on.
Yes.
And there's a veterinarian before the race to make sure that the frogs haven't been drugged so that they don't jump off.
Like they didn't have lead put in them or sedatives and all of these things. It's hysterical. So as we're watching this race, my sister was here with us. She was in town. And we're like, this is hysterical. I like, you know, so the frogs are jumping all over the place and stuff. And they have to go and run and put them back on. And Jason looks all disappointed. He goes, it's just not what I thought. And we're like, what are you talking about? And he says, that's when he admits his wheelbarrow pulling frog race. And we were like, oh, my God, how old are you? That would he's like, well, and we all agreed that would have been a sight to see for sure, too.
Would have been way better. But and, it's really... The race is really just a reason for everyone to get together and eat. And there's usually 2 years ago, they did the low flyby by the World War II planes.
Yeah, that one was really cool. And they also, the best part is just like the, you know, just like the Palio in Siena, it's the different neighborhoods competing against each other for this very prestigious frog race. And the best part is whoever's town, like a town, quartieri, like
neighborhood.
Neighborhood wins. That's the neighborhood you go to eat what? Fried frog's legs. It's either in fried frog's legs or frog's legs in the style of porchetta.
And in umido. They had them in stewed.
Oh, did they? Yeah. And so they eat what they celebrate, which is hysterical. I love that kind of side of it. And also during that weekend, they have the, I forget what it's called, that big funny bicycle race with the big humongous front wheel.
Yeah, I forget what.
Those old-timey bicycles, like Ottocento something.
Like the Charlie Chaplin bicycle.
Yeah. So it's really cool because they'll have a few of those bikes out normally too. But they'll always have the hawks flying over who have been practicing along our road all winter long, which was really cool.
Yeah. So but, it's the season of festivals. The
yeah, it's
earth
beginning.
Yep. The earth is waking up. The people are waking up. The other on Easter Monday, we saw everyone hiking and walking.
Yep.
And so the... The pop-ins will start.
Oh my gosh! Let it begin.
Let the pop-ins begin. But it's nice.
You better start baking.
I know. I better. I have no. We have nothing.
I
here.
Know. Like, we need crostata. We need
coffee. We haven't done our provisions.
Oh my gosh! And you guys,
season.
Coffee is so expensive. But then we found out in New York it's way more. So we shouldn't even complain.
No. But I'm really excited for this to happen because everything's waking up and the season's starting and winter's coming. Well, you wouldn't know it today, but winter's coming to an end and. we're ready to get to it.
I know. It's time to get a little tan and get outside. Just a little update on the pool. Neither one of us have gotten in.
No, not yet.
I have it half drained. I got the pump fixed, but
you did say to Luke the other day that you thought you would get in, and I didn't know if you were just being nice because you were talking to other people.
I was just being nice.
I was hoping you were declaring that it was going to be you.
All right, bring us home.
Thank you guys so much for listening to our Short But Sweet podcast this week. You can find us on letavlamarque.com, letavlamarque.blogspot.com. Oh my gosh, and if you haven't already, don't forget to vote for us for Savoir magazine.
Let's talk. I totally forgot about that.
So it was true. I really was nominated. And if you go to savoir.com/blogawards, you'll be taken right to the page for their awards for bloggers, which is pretty prestigious. Pretty, pretty prestigious. And I still don't know how I'm on this list. But
what category are you in?
We are under Best Culinary Travel Coverage.
And it's the third category on the page,
Something like that. Scroll down the page. You'll see dessert.
The first third,
all of this.
Yeah.
And we're number two, La Table Marque. And if you vote, you can only vote once. But we would sure appreciate a vote. And
And my brother really wants my brother is really pulling for us because he gets to go since they have this big gala in New York that we've been invited to, but we can't go. My fat brother would like to represent us. And he says he has a very good acceptance speech if we win. So I'm sure it will be very, I'm sure it won't be flattering towards us.
He'll say they're fat. Drop the mic. They don't deserve this. But if you get a chance, please vote for us there. You'll see a link on our blog as well. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, all at La Tavola Marque, LATAVOLAMARCHE. If you want to shoot us an email about the business or about any questions or something to talk about, pardon me?
Bookings. We're still open. We're ready to rock and roll.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And shoot us an email, info@LaTavlaMarque. And you can follow me on Instagram at Ashley Bartner, ASHLEYBARTNER.
All right. How do you spell it?
I already did.
Nope. La Tavola Marque.
I did.
Oh, sorry.
LATAVOLAMARCHE.
Sorry. I was looking at all the cats.
I know. We have a piggy pile. Everyone's sleeping.
All right. Thank you so much for downloading our podcast. We never talked about a song. So if there is a song, it is a surprise to all of us. I will have to go find one right now. But I'm sure it will be lovely.
Enjoy.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time.
Ciao. Bye. So much.